In this video, we're going to understand what is happening at the Bangladesh-Myanmar border. First, let me show you on the map where is the exact location. This is the place. The Bangladesh-Myanmar border is approximately 271 kilometers long. This area of Myanmar is called the Rakhine State, and this area in Bangladesh is the Chittagong Hill region. This side there is this river called Naaf River. It flows from north to south into the Bay of Bengal. And from here the rest of the border is a mix of hilly and forest terrain. Let me zoom a little bit here. As you can see, this is a peninsula. It is called Teknaf Peninsula. The Naaf River, when it merges into the Bay of Bengal, towards the end it widens up. And here in the south side, you can see this small island in the Bay of Bengal. This is the infamous St. Martin's Island. I want you to have a visual memory of this place. I will speak more about this in some time. St. Martin's Island is also the southern tip of Bangladesh. Now, if you look at this peninsula, the Teknaf Peninsula, it is part of Bangladesh. This area is very important because this is the hotspot of refugee crossings, especially related to the 2017 Rohingya Muslim migration. Over 1 million Rohingya Muslim refugees fled from Myanmar's Rakhine State to Bangladesh from this area. They used boats to cross the Naaf River. Some refugees also crossed through forest area along the border. If you follow this river from south to north, here the land border starts, which is full of hills and forest terrain. Here you will also find Bangladesh-Myanmar Highway. Usually in such border area, you would expect heavy monitoring and patrolling done by the security forces from both countries, right? But currently the Arakan Army has recently gained control over significant areas along the Myanmar-Bangladesh border, including strategic locations near the highway connecting the two countries. And by the way, this 271 kilometer long border is also the prime spot for illegal crossings, smuggling, and the activities of armed groups, that is Arakan Army, Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army. Now, let me quickly tell you the difference between the Arakan Army and the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army. First of all, they both are ethnic armed militant group operating in Myanmar. In Myanmar, they are primarily from Rakhine State, but their operations extend beyond the region. The reason I use the word ethnic is because the Arakan Army are predominantly Buddhist people, and the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, ARSA, represents the Rohingya Muslim population. So each one is fighting for the rights and autonomy of their own ethnic people. Another difference between the two groups is that the Arakan Army is a little bigger in size, and they are more like an organized military. They have more manpower, resources, and territory under control. On the other hand, ARSA is smaller in size and they are more like an insurgent group. They typically rely on hit-and-run tactics, ambushes, and raids rather than large-scale military operations. If you see, both the groups have deep ethnic and political differences. Therefore, they have fought with each other over territorial control and ideological differences. If you look at the entire country, Myanmar, it is officially a Buddhist majority country. Almost around 90% of the population follow Buddhism. The remaining population is primarily made up of Muslims and Christians, with a smaller number of Hindus as well. But then if you see, the Buddhist people in Myanmar, especially in the Rakhine State, have always had problem with the growing number of Muslim Rohingyas. They see them as a threat to their Buddhist identity, value and culture. And if you see, that is a true and genuine concern. If you look at the European countries, those who gave refuge to Muslims under 2015 European migration from the Middle East or Africa, today, those very European countries are concerned about their identity, values and culture. These are fundamental issues. Every place has its own culture, value and identity. If, over time, there is a threat to that, it is natural for the people there to have a genuine concern. Look at France, Germany, UK, Sweden, Hungary, Poland, Austria, Italy, Netherlands, Denmark. Just look at the problems that they are facing today. So the same is true with the Buddhist people in Myanmar. The only difference is that each place has its own way of dealing with this problem. In Western societies, it is debated, then protest and parade take place, and then diplomatic solutions are found over time, which is again not really a solution. It is just a ticking bomb. On the other hand, in this part of the world, solutions are found more quickly without wasting time. Yes, this is a bit of an extreme approach, but every place has its own way of handling things. And this is the reason these two ethnic armed groups have deep animosity towards each other. And one thing that is common in both the group is that They both are an enemy of the Myanmar military. The Myanmar military is also called as Tatmadaw. Both these groups have engaged in direct conflict with the Myanmar military. I want you to keep a visual memory of this. I will get back on this in some time. But currently the Arakan army is the dominating force. It has now captured the entire Bangladesh-Myanmar border region. Reports are emerging that the Tekanaf Peninsula area and its surrounding areas are also under Arakan army control. This region includes Maung Dao, which is witnessing intense conflict. Reports also suggest that the route to St. Martin's Island has now been closed because of this situation. Now let's come to the important point of this video. Why all of this is happening? Let's put all the pieces together. When you look at this group, ARSA, that is Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, have a look at the word salvation. Salvation as a word is often associated with Christianity, as it plays a central role in Christian religion. Don't you think it is weird to add the word salvation to an armed group which claims to be fighting for the rights of Rohingya Muslims? It is weird, because you have to understand that ARSA is a product of deep state. Now I want you to guess which deep state I'm talking about. And now the Bangladeshi jihadist groups are supporting ARSA. Now you might wonder about the term Salvation Army. Yes, the Salvation Army name usually reminds us of Christian militant groups. But here ARSA is a product of 2119 deep state. And the Arakan Army is also a product of 2119 deep state. Now how do I say that? Remember I told you to keep a visual memory of a point. And the point is that both these armed groups have also engaged directly with the Myanmar military. Just think for yourself. If the Arakan army is supposed to protect the interest of the Buddhist Rakhine people, then they should not engage in any armed conflict with the Myanmar military. Instead, the Myanmar military should support them. And in return, the Arakan army should listen to the Myanmar military and act like a proxy force. But then something else is happening here. The Arakan army has taken full control of the Myanmar-Bangladesh border. They seem to be having their own autonomous agenda. So who is giving them this autonomy? It is 2119. Now the situation is that two groups, the Arakan army and the ARSA, who are backed by 2119, are now fighting with each other. And Bangladesh has become entangled in this conflict because Bangladeshi jihadis are now supporting ARSA, while the Arakan army is gaining ground. As a result, the Rohingya refugees who were settled in this area of Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh are now fleeing again to Indonesia, Malaysia. And many are also running more deeper inside Bangladesh. The entire region of Tekanaf Peninsula is seeing people abandoning their homes. So what is the bigger picture? The Arakan army is a creation of the 2119, which had its own interest in the region. However, the consequences of these actions have now trapped Bangladesh in a complex situation today. Now let me zoom out a little to explain the situation better. Why did 2119 created the Arakan army in the first place? Because 2119 needed something. Both 2119 and China were interested in this delta region because a significant amount of natural gas was discovered there. The rights to this gas field became a contentious issue. Sheikh Hasina was not willing to give these rights to the American companies, nor to Indian company ONGC. She rejected the request of Indian ONGC in 2006. And the American companies too in 2013. Rather, she gave the permit to the Chinese companies in 2006. After her return to power in 2009 again, she continued the agreement with China. China still holds permits for natural gas exploration in the Bay of Bengal. So this made 2119 to take Pakistan's help to orchestrate this entire situation near Bangladesh-Myanmar border. If you find out when did Arakan Army and ARSA emerged, they were formed in 2009 and 2013. These dates merge with these dates. Now if you look at the St. Martin's Island, which is located here, this has gone out of Bangladesh's control because the entire Tekanaf Peninsula is now under Arakan Army's control and they have blocked all the routes to the island and the entire region has slipped away from Bangladesh's grip. Now I'm going to tell you something very deep. What was the aim behind the Bangladeshi political coup in August 2024? That made Sheikh Hasina to flee her country and take asylum in India. Many of you might say it is because of the student protest that was going on in Bangladesh since July over some job quota. Let me tell you this, it is all drama. Now there are three people I will mention and I will tell few activities about them and how they have coordinated this game plan. The first person is Peter Haas. He is a diplomat who has served as the 2119 ambassador to Bangladesh from March 2022 to July 2024. This guy left Bangladesh on July 23rd, Tuesday night, And do you know what he did before leaving? He simply wrote a LinkedIn post, said bye-bye and left Dhaka. Normally, when an ambassador leaves, they meet the prime minister, president and foreign minister. But he just posted on LinkedIn at night, saying thank you and goodbye. This means that he knew something big is going to happen. And even the 2119 knew about all of this months before. Now, who is this second person who has been chosen to lead the interim government in Bangladesh? Have a look at this guy, Muhammad Yunus. He is a Nobel laureate. And do you know why he got a Nobel Prize? Because he started something called the Grameen Bank. He is also known as the banker to the poor. Basically, what he did was, he started giving small amounts of loan, that is less than $100, to the rural poor people in Bangladesh. You must have seen those small financiers giving loans to shops and street vendors, and they collect daily interest payments. This man started that kind of business idea and received the Nobel Prize for it. Actually, he did not receive the Nobel Prize. It was arranged for him. Because by transferring money from here to there, they finance the poor and earn interest by sucking their blood. And guess what? The 2119 was so inspired by his project, they allowed him to start a separate non-profit organization in America by the name of Grameen America. Basically, he started running the same model in America also. Now imagine the irony for America that it had to implement a Ponzi microfinance scheme from Bangladesh in its own country because it was very inspiring. Then in January this year, Muhammad Yunus was sentenced to 6 months in prison for violation of labor law. He and 13 others were also convicted by a Bangladeshi court in June on charges of fraud of 252 million taka, that is $2 million, from the workers' welfare fund of a telecom company that he founded called Grameen Telecom. Same name, same Ponzi scheme. And this very same guy has been requested by the students who started this protest against Sheikh Hasina to head the interim government. And who are these students who started this protest? They are from the BRAC University. Muhammad Yunus is very well connected and associated with the BRAC University with its students exchange program in the United States. These students who go to United States as part of students exchange program, then these Gen Zs are taught to be a rebel and protest and develop anti-establishment mindset. You can't even call it a student protest. Stealing, destroying government property, spreading anarchy, displaying women's clothing openly, breaking statues. Are these the actions of Gen Z students who are fighting for their rights? All this talk is just rhetoric. There was nothing like a genuine student protest for rights. This is a 2119 sponsored political coup. Now the third person that you need to know about is, this person is very important. He is known globally as a regime changer. His name is Donald Liu. He is the Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asian Affairs to the United States. Now his role is similar to that of Victoria Nuland. You remember her phone conversation with United States Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, where it was revealed that she made a call to the US Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, regarding CIA's interference in Ukrainian state-sponsored death list, as well as making up the next Ukrainian government. Donald Liu's job is the same in South Asia. He visited Bangladesh in May 2024. Although Donald Liu had visited Bangladesh more than once before the general election of Jan, but then this was his first visit after the election. In fact, this was the first visit to Dhaka from anyone of this level from Washington after the January 7th election. In fact, Sheikh Hasina herself has mentioned that a white man offered to resolve her political troubles if she allowed certain things to happen. That white man is Donald Liu. Although he's from Chinese descent, but then he's part of the US government. And for Sheikh Hasina, anyone from the US government is a white man. So he was the one who did negotiation on behalf of the US government. Now the question is, why would 2119 do this? 2119 wanted to establish military bases in Chittagong Hill Tracks and St. Martin's Island. These locations are strategically important for establishing a base that would impact Myanmar and the Indo-Pacific region. But Sheikh Hasina refused, and she knew that such military bases could lead to the formation of a new Christian state, which would have been a threat to China and India. Let me also tell you something more about Donald Liu. He is linked with the CIA and has a reputation for influencing regime changes. He was there when Imran Khan was removed in Pakistan. Imran Khan himself has named Donald Liu as having orchestrated the regime change. Donald Liu's involvement is well known, although it is unfortunate that no one talks about it, including the Indian government. Currently, Jamaat-e-Islami is in control of Bangladesh. Jamaat-e-Islami Bangladesh is a radical Islamist fundamentalist terrorist organization. You might remember that on August 15, 2021, the Taliban returned to power in Afghanistan. On August 15, 1975, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman was assassinated by his own army people for whom he created a country, Remember the month. Even Pakistani ISI has not forgotten their task. It is to conquer Bangladesh, and they have a major weapon for this, Jamaat-e-Islami. Jamaat-e-Islami has practically established its people everywhere in Bangladesh, including in the army, where hardcore members hold senior positions. Jamaat-e-Islami student network has significant influence in Dhaka University, BRAC University, Rajshahi University, Chittagong University, and technical universities, including engineering colleges. They have developed a new generation of jihadis who are skilled in computer technology, understanding signals and social media usage. These individuals are being managed behind the scenes by 2119, the Pakistani military and the ISI. These jihadis are now part of the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, ARSA. The whole point behind Bangladeshi political coup of August 2024 was to remove Sheikh Hasina and her growing alignment towards China. Now, the Bangladeshi army is unable to move into the Teknaf Peninsula area, and they have lost control of the St. Martin's Island, which 2119 wanted desperately. In November last month, you must have also heard that a Pakistani cargo ship got access to the Chittagong port. This happened for the first time after 1971. What does this mean? How did Pakistan come into the picture? I have just explained how Pakistani and the ISI came into the picture. 2119 always wanted St. Martin's Island for establishing their military base, but they never got the permission from Sheikh Hasina. Now this island is no longer in Bangladesh's control, and the Bangladeshi-Myanmar border is also not in either country's government's control. It is under a militant group's control who has the influence of 2119. Now let me also explain how India is involved in this matter. Just take a blind guess. If at all India has to support any armed group, who will that be? It cannot be a Christian or a Muslim armed group for sure. The only one left is a Buddhist armed group, Arakan Army. In fact, in March this year, one Indian delegation, including a member of parliament, met with Arakan Army representatives in Myanmar. It was regarding completion of a river infrastructure project. Now, we cannot say for sure that apart from the projects, there was any other discussion. It may have happened or it may not have. But one thing you need to understand is why the Indian government chose to engage with an armed group instead of directly talking to Myanmar's military. This clearly shows that, at present, the Arakan army holds more value than Myanmar's military, at least on this side of Myanmar, if not in entire country. But to your surprise, let me also tell you that the Indian Ministry of External Affairs discreetly invited the Arakan army along with various other resistance groups to New Delhi for talks. It included groups like National Unity Government, the Arakan Army, the Chin National Front, and the Chin Brotherhood. The Indian government did not have a meeting with all of them simultaneously. Every group was met individually. Even if this meeting doesn't hold any big importance, although it does, but even if we assume for a minute, it is still natural to believe that the Indian intelligence agency RAW has to be there at the Myanmar border. Myanmar lies in a strategically important location, especially as part of India's Act East policy. And then India will also have to ensure regional security in northeast states of India by monitoring developments along Myanmar's border with China, Bangladesh and Thailand. And that is only possible by engaging with the various ethnic armed groups in Myanmar. If you remember, recently in September 2024, the Indian government invited various Northeast rebel groups to Delhi for discussions and signed peace agreements. Now just think about it. As I said, the Arakan army is backed and supported by 2119. So what were they doing in Delhi recently? They shouldn't have gone there without the deep state's permission. So does it mean the deep state has switched sides and wants to engage with India? Why did the deep state change sides? The answer lies in Trump's November election. All this meeting happened in November. This entire Teknaf Peninsula is now under Arakan Army's control, including the St. Martin's Island. Additionally, the Sithwe port in Myanmar is part of the Kaladan Multimodal Transit Transport Project, which connects India's northeastern state of Mizoram to the Bay of Bengal via Myanmar. The project aims to enhance connectivity, trade and economic integration between India's northeast and southeast Asia. It also allows cargo to be transported by sea from India's Kolkata port to Sithwe in Myanmar, bypassing land routes through Bangladesh. From Sithwe, cargo is transported through the Kaladan River, that is Mizoram's Kolodain River, to the inland town of Palethwa in Myanmar. From Palethwa, a road corridor connects to the Indian border at Zorinpui, providing direct access to Mizoram. This link completes the multimodal connectivity using sea, river and road transport. Now, this corridor was originally established through an agreement with Myanmar's military junta, also known as Tatmadaw. The project bypasses the narrow Siliguri corridor, that is Chicken's Neck, which is India's sole land route to the northeast. It significantly reduces transport time and costs for goods moving to and from the northeast. It also supports India's Act East policy, fostering economic and cultural ties with Southeast Asia. That is why the Indian government invited various Northeast rebel groups to Delhi for discussions and signed peace agreements in September. And then in the month of November, the Indian Ministry of External Affairs discreetly invited the Arakan Army, along with various other resistance groups, to New Delhi for talks, so that there is no conflict between the Myanmar's ethnic armed groups and India's Northeast rebel groups regarding cross-border projects. In this whole scenario, one thing is clear. Muhammad Yunus will likely flee Bangladesh very soon. The end of Bangladesh's jihadis and their leader Yunus is near. Historically, Yunus has been associated with the Democratic Party, particularly the Clintons. However, following Trump's recent election victory, Yunus is trying very hard to establish a desperate relationship with the new administration. But Trump has openly criticized the situation in Bangladesh, particularly concerning violence against minorities and especially Hindus. So, Muhammad Yunus will be gone. Once again, there will be a political coup in Bangladesh. There will be a new president. India is quietly playing a role behind the scenes. I end my video here. I will get back on this issue when more updates will be available. I hope you found this video informative. I will see you in the next one.